Good afternoon, evening, and morning, everybody. It depends on what time you're listening, but we are here, we're in the studio, and we are going to get you a good show today. We are the Valley Outdoors. I am the Valley Outdoors today, Sean. It's just you and I in the studio. I know Don had to take care of some things, and we just got back from our trip up to Lake Cabotogama and the Fish With Us deal.
I know, it's kind of quiet.
It is. You know, when he's not here, it's kind of nice. It's you know, just it kind of chill. So
right.
We got a couple stories coming up that you're going to really like. Colorado, an archery hunter, had a run-in with a moose. That was, you'll want to hear about that one. And some interesting news coming out of Iowa, and they're dealing with milfoil. Those stories and more when we return with more Valley Outdoors. Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies? Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good to have everybody joining us today. And like I said, we've got a bunch of things to talk about. We're probably going to take a little time and talk about just briefly, because I don't want to talk about everything behind Don, or when he's not able to defend himself, one of the two. So we're going to make sure that we talk about that, the trip in length, at length, next week. But a couple things that I did, kind of thought I really kind of a good way to apply a tip for this week. And, you know, whenever you're out fishing and you find the bite is difficult, and sometimes you're like, well, they're just not biting. Well, odds are they're probably biting somewhere, or you just don't quite have the right bait and or presentation. And that was one of the real things that it really stood out at on this particular trip. We had cold front condition, and we had variable wind. We had water temperature that dropped 4 degrees from the day, from the evening we arrived. That water temperature was about 69, and it dropped to about 60, 65, 66. So really a significant drop in temperature. Of course, it affects the fish. And of course, it did. The fish moved from where a couple of our guys found some fish for the first day of our guests. So one of the things, like I said, that really stands out, I think we have to consider, is number one, be on the move. In the fall, the fish are moving. They're going either looking for bait or they're going somewhere. If you're in a river, they're usually going somewhere. They're going to be coming upriver, going to a usually a fall spot that's going to be kind of the terminal area that they're going to spawn. And usually it's going to provide an amazing fall catch. That's one of the things. But understand that you can catch those fish along their journey at various points and understand that, you know, they may not bite all day long and they are in transition. So they're moving. So that's one of the things. Lakes, same thing. You'll find that if the water temperature changes, it could change the bite. It also can change your presentation. So look and play with that. Don't all start out with the same thing in the boat when you're going out there. Switch it up, run minnow, run a crawler, run a harness, run a jig. Mix it up to really find what's going to be the most effective. And then once somebody starts catching them on that, make the switch. And of course, make sure you have enough of everything so that one guy doesn't get all the fun. And and there's nobody lying that they don't have any more of that kind of tackle before. Had that happen. So make sure you have plenty of tackle. Make sure you understand what you're going to do and have just a game plan. Hey, we're going to go here 15, 20 minutes. If they're not there, then we're going to go next. So have a milk run set to go. And it'll make your time on the water that much better. An archery hunter in Colorado did not have a pleasant time. Hunter was gored and trampled by a moose in Colorado. The Colorado authorities say that an archery hunter sustained life-threatening injuries when he was gored and trampled by a moose in a remote area of west of Fort Collins. The rare moose attack happened on Tuesday. As a result, as an adult male hunter prepared to shoot the animal with an arrow, the sheriff's department had told the newspaper out there. Sheriff's spokesperson said the injured hunter activated an emergency signal from a GPS receiver, and other hunters located the man as he hiked out of the area south of Cameron Peak, about 70 miles west of Fort Collins. They performed life-saving first aid and applied a tourniquet. The man was flown with a helicopter to an area hospital. His condition is not immediately known. He was in very bad shape. It was the fourth moose attack on a person this year and the 13th since 2019. I don't know, Sean, those numbers don't seem to really be good. Let's see. There's 13 of them since 2019, and you had four already this year. Is there a trend there? Yeah, I think so.
Maybe a little.
Yeah, I guess. And according to the spokesperson for Colorado Parks and Wildlife, those are the accurate numbers. And, of course, the archery moose season runs from September 11th through September 30th. And so that's still got some time in and going on in that. And
was there a flying squirrel with the moose?
No. Okay. No. He didn't also say, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat either. So that Rocky and Bullwinkle were not a part of this attack. I think they were probably kicked back in their cabin and watching TV, eating popcorn or something. I don't know. But yeah, kind of a sad deal. But you know, one of the other things that I noticed just as a quick hit, when we went up to Cab and we're in Namekan in that whole area, you want to talk about devastation from the flood. You know, it's a reservoir. It flows from there into Rainy and then Rainy into Lake of the Woods. You know, that whole area was just major flood. Well, there were docks that were pulled up. And, of course, most of the docks up there are crib docks. So they're dealing with a log square that they built, like a Lincoln log house kind of thing. And then they fill it with rock. And then they rest their timbers on top of it so that it doesn't move, and they're just amazingly strong. The only unfortunate part is when the water goes over the dock, the odds of that floating off of those piers of rock and timber are pretty evident. And it was exactly what happened. So a tough deal up there. I'm hoping we don't have to worry about that again next year. Water levels seem up, but they try to do a drawdown every year in the reservoir. So let's hope and pray for those guys up there. The resorts got devastated literally almost 3-4 years in a row with COVID and everything else. So let's hope we can make that happen and not let it happen again with the drawdown. So, well, stay tuned, guys. We got more coming up. We're going to be dealing with aggressive treatment of milfoil in Iowa. Let's see what they're going to do about that. Stay tuned.